Yes, yeah, so I just want to read a little bit from a memoir of someone I came across a few years ago, and I think he went on his own journey in relation to, in a way, the mystery of who he was, the mystery of self, and it was in relation to speech and language. And you may have heard of this man. His name was Tom Lubbock. He was a journalist for the Independent newspaper, and when he was about, I think he was 51, he had a 18-month-old son and partner, and then he was, at that time, he was diagnosed with a brain tumour. And the brain tumour was in the area of speech and language. So you have this writer with a lot of life left in him. Language, really significant and important to him. And his ability to speak and to think becomes compromised by his illness. So I just want to read a few little passages from his journey. He was very interested in what happened to him. He really had curiosity about his condition. Reading the memoir, he had no self-pity at all. It was just quite extraordinary how he related to what was happening. And he goes through processes of, in a way, looking to understand what's happening to him. So he says, "I think that loss of speech and of understanding of speech and of understanding of writing and of coherent writing, I think these losses will amount to the loss of my mind. I know what this feels like, and it has no insides, no internal echo. Mind means talking to oneself. There wouldn't be any secret mind surviving in me." And then he goes on a bit later. He says, "The mystery of summoning up words, where are they in the mind, in the brain? They appear to be an agency from nowhere. They exist somewhere in our ground or in our air. They come from unknown darkness, from a place we don't normally think about." And later he says, "For me, no word comes without prior thought." This is because of his illness. "No sentence is generated without effort. No formulation is made automatically. I am faced practically and continually with a mystery that other people have no conception of. The mystery of the generation of speech. There is no command situation. It goes back and back and back. Where the self lies at the heart of the utterance, the speaker generating the word, is always clouded." So his investigation is taking him very close to the territory of anatta, of not self. And then even later, when his language is getting really, really limited, just before he completely loses the capacity to speak, before that, he's still writing his column in The Independent, but it takes more and more effort, more and more words. So then he gets surprised. He says, "But I find my brain is still busy, moving, thinking. I am surprised. My language to describe things in the world is very small and limited. But my thoughts, when I look at the world, are vast, limitless, and normal, the same as they ever were. My experience of the world is not made less by lack of language, but is essentially unchanged. This is curious. So I think this is pointing to a really interesting difference in realm, if you like, the realm of the thinking mind that we associate with, well, as he was doing at the beginning, it's what would I be without language, what would I be without thought? And to me, what it seems as if he moves closer towards is a loss of language, but an increase in awareness. There's something that still remains that makes his life no less meaningful. In some ways, it adds meaning. My experience of the world is not made less by lack of language, but is essentially unchanged. It's a really beautiful book. I do recommend it. It's called Until Further Notice, I Am Alive. Which, of course, now he's not. He died maybe 3-4 years ago. So I just wanted to drop that in a way, journey, that in a way where we can go, what we discover, not with the thinking mind, but through simply paying attention, simply bringing awareness into being.